Well, good morning. It's really lovely to be here. For those of you who don't know, I'm Sam, and hope we can really enjoy being together and hearing God speak to us from his word. As I've been preparing and looking through this passage that we've just heard read to us, one of the things that came up time and time again was about how we appear to other people and how we actually are. When I was thinking of this, it reminded me of a film that I've seen before. And this is, if it will work, I'll let Ben click it. A film, Catch Me If You Can. I don't know if you've seen it or know the story behind it, but it's of a man called Frank Abagnale, who at various times in his life presents himself as a teacher, as a pilot, a doctor, or a lawyer to carry on this facade that he has, and to avoid capture by the authorities. As the real Frank. And that's, I think, one of the roots of the story. And all the way through, he's presenting himself as these different things for his different gains. But I think sometimes it's something that we can do the same. We can, in the privacy of our home or in our immediate family, we can be a certain way, but then when we're at work or maybe we're at church or a school or wherever we are, we then present ourselves in different ways. Perhaps we want to portray ourselves in a particular way. And I think we're all guilty of this in some way. In this passage, Jesus is saying we mustn't be like this, particularly in some of the things that he's commanded us to do. So throughout the Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus challenging the practice of the day. Last week we learned about how he's calling us to turn the other cheek, to love our enemies. He talks about that it's not just murder that's important, but anger as well, not just adultery, but lust. And we see here also that God cares about the good deeds that we do. And we'll look today at giving to the needy, prayer and fasting, and see how what God seems to really care the most about, it's not about the deeds that are being performed, not about the prayers given or the good gifts given to those that are in need, but actually about the person who's giving them and the heart of them. So let's begin and have a look at these points in turn. So first of all, we'll look at the pattern of God's, of the pattern for good deeds. So I think we'll come up there. So the first verse of the passage, chapter 6, verse 1, says this, doesn't it? It says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father." And in each of these different areas, we see how Jesus, in his sermon here, portrays a pattern for how we should be doing these different things. We see it each time, and we'll draw this out. First of all, don't be like the hypocrites, seeking other people to look at you, seeking praise from men. Do your good deeds before doing good deeds before others. No, you should be doing your good deeds in a way that other people don't see, that it doesn't portray and give glory to yourself. We should be doing these things in secret because God the Father knows all things. He sees the secret things. And then finally, he says that he will reward. And evidently, as we've Ben helpfully showed us, this was rife in the day. The Pharisees were going about praying on the street corners, sounding the trumpets when they gave good deeds, gave to the needy. And Jesus is saying, no, this is the wrong way to go. So let's start with giving. So he says, don't sound the trumpets to let everyone know what you're doing. No, we should be giving generously. But he says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Almost, you shouldn't even know quite how much you're giving. But we need to be giving generously to those in need. Because actually, it's not about getting praise from other people. Because God the Father sees in secret, and he will reward you. In prayer also, he says, do not pray in public for the purpose of being seen by others. Evidently, the Pharisees were standing on the street corners or in the synagogues, proclaiming so everyone could see their many prayers. And then it talks again of the people of other nations who just talk and talk and talk in their prayers, thinking that their many words will provide acceptance to God. No. Jesus says here, we need to be going in private, closing the door so no one can see, and getting on our knees and giving of our heart before the Lord. And of course, there's a place to pray in public. But what we'll see as we come along is that actually it's making sure that it starts in private. And anything that is seen then can be given the praise and glory to God. Because again, it tells us, doesn't it, that God knows what we already want to pray. And therefore, he will reward us. And then fasting. It says, make sure other people don't know that you're fasting. Evidently, again, people are going around and making themselves look really glum and moody, thinking, because I'm really hungry and I'm giving up my food. But no, what does Jesus say? In verse 16 and 17, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Make it look like just any other day, you know, so that there's a glow to you even when you're hungry and you could do with something to eat. Why? Because the only reason to make yourself look to other people know that you're fasting is so that they think you're holy or think well of you. No, God knows the heart. God knows all that we do. And he who sees in secret will reward you. These three things are three things among many things that the Bible and the Christians should be doing in their life. But these are three things that here, I think, it's clear are things that we should all be doing. Time and time again through the passage, it doesn't say, if you pray, do this. It says, when you pray, when you give to the needy, when you fast. Seven times through the passage, it's implied that these are things we should be doing. But what's the pattern? Don't be like the hypocrites, seeking man's praise. Do your acts in a way that others can't see. God the Father, who sees the secret things, he knows our hearts. He will reward you. But then it comes on to say, well, we've seen what God's pattern is for good deeds, but then what's the purpose of it all? What's the purpose of it if actually God knows our hearts? He's seen the secret things. Well, I think there's two things. Number one, to bring glory to God. And number two, to make the person who's doing these good deeds to become more like Christ. I think these are two things, the purposes of God that we see throughout the Bible. Firstly, that everything that we should do should be bringing glory and praise and honor to Jesus, the King. But also, to transform people who are sinners, who have been far from God, who have been enemies of him, more and more into the likeness of Christ. Let's take each one of these in turn again. So, giving to the needy. I think next week we'll probably have the next passage in this Sermon of the Mount where Jesus talks about not worrying and how he says that he will provide for all of our needs. In Matthew 6, 25 to 34, he goes through this long passage saying, you don't need to worry about what you're going to wear. God clothes the lilies of the field, so of course he's going to clothe you. You don't need to worry about where your food's going to come from. God feeds the birds who don't sow, they don't grow vegetables. So how much more is he going to care and provide for you? And of course that makes sense. You know, God is the creator of all things. He has all things in his hands. He's not going to let people just go hungry given that he is sustaining creation in all things. So why is it part of our role, part of the Christian's role, and part of the role that Jesus is commanding us here to give to the needy? Well, because it's God's chosen method of how he provides for us. God has chosen to use people to accomplish his works on earth. You know, of course God could just snap his fingers and there could be a beautiful meal in front of us. But that doesn't give us the opportunity to be thankful to him for his provision in the same, or to be part of it. If we're giving to others, it gives greater glory to God. It shows God's love through other people. It helps the person who is giving to be thankful to God that they have the opportunity to give. It helps them to trust God, because if we're giving when we're sacrificially, where we don't have a bounty to give, then we have to trust God for our own needs. And of course, it causes the person who's received to praise God and to give him the glory. God doesn't need us to give to the needy or do good deeds. No, but he's chosen to do it, to change people more into the likeness of Christ and to give greater glory to himself. What about prayer? Why do we pray? It says there in the passage, chapter 6, verse 8. For the Father knows what you need before you ask him. So if God knows what we need, why are we asking for it? If God knows what all the things that are in our hearts and we're ever going to pray, well, again, it's God's chosen method to accomplish his works on earth. Ultimately, to do the two same things again, to give greater glory to God and to change and transform the hearts of people to become more like Christ. If we articulate, if we speak out our needs to God, it helps us to see that actually we do need God, and we need and rely on him. And it helps us to trust for the provision. So when we are provided for, when we do receive blessing, we can say, thank you, Lord, for what you have given to me. Too often we take God for granted, don't we? We just take for granted the things that we have. You know, the fact that we have provision of food readily available, that we have homes to live in, perhaps, or a church to come and minister in. So even having some things that we every day have to be thankful for God's provision and God's providing for, is a tremendous blessing that should help us to say, God, thank you, and to give glory to him. And of course, prayer is the way that we communicate with God. It's the way that we, the main way that we relate to God, isn't it? You know, when we speak, when we yearn from our heart, that is how we communicate. And of course, as we pray and as we speak to God, that relationship is grown. Prayer draws us closer to God. And then fasting. What is fasting? It's a private reliance on God, giving up something that we need so that we can rely on God for it, remembering that he provides for all that we need. God's pattern is to use us to do his work for his glory. If we seek that glory that is rightfully due to him, we're robbing God, and it doesn't point people to Christ. And again, in this passage, Jesus keeps saying, they're hypocrites. If we're doing good things and just praying publicly so others can see and thinking, well, that will make them think well of me, or if we're just giving to others in a way and just so other people can see, or we're doing something helpful to others, but then we post it on Facebook or another social media place just to get likes, well, are we really doing it for God's glory? We're doing it for our own praise, aren't we? So what's the right place to go? Well, it all stems from where our heart is. Whether in acts or the things that we do, we're seeking our own praise or the praise of God. This reveals where our heart is. We like other people to think well of us, don't we? We want people to think, that person there, they're a good guy, you know. They're following God in a good way, or they're a fantastic member of society. You know, they're always there, they're always helping me. Or they're the family member that I know can always help me out. Or maybe you're at work and, you know, We want people to think, that's the guy that can always get the job done. That's the guy I turn to when I'm in a crisis. But we need to be careful that we're not then saying, well, and taking all the praise on ourselves. We should be taking it back up to God. The world and the society that we live in measures success and acceptance by approval and how we are. So, of course, getting praise from others feels great, doesn't it? Because that is what makes us been successful. But this should not be the way of those that follow Jesus. We should want everyone to praise God and not us. For without him, we are nothing. There's a really helpful verse, I think, that I've thought and meditated over for many years in John 3. John the Baptist. People come to him and say, hey, John, you know, all your disciples are going off and following Jesus now. What do you think about it? And John just comes back and says, he must increase, but I must decrease. John had been this great servant of God who many would have come and praised, but he's saying, no, I need to come down and be and reduce. I need to go so that Jesus can come up and be the one that people look to. And we should be the same. We should be saying, anything that Sam does or you do needs to be thought of little compared to what Christ has done. And it follows through to our good deeds. Clearly at this stage in history, the Pharisees are going about in this hypocritical way. They're seen to be morally upright. They're seen to be stand-up members of society. And yet we see time and time again Jesus cutting at what they do and what they say to show that actually their hearts are not where they should be. Later on in Matthew, in chapter 23, he compares them to whitewashed tombs. They look good on the outside, but inside they're dead, just full of bones, and there's no good in them. And this is something that God teaches throughout Scripture. Where our heart is what matters. Let me take you briefly to a time in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel 16, there's a great verse again. It says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And this comes from a time David was being anointed king, and Samuel the prophet has come, and God has told him, you need to go to Bethlehem to anoint the new king. He's going to be one of the sons of Jesse. And he goes there, and he says, Jesse, bring out your sons. And he brings out the oldest son. It's a man called Eliab. And he's strong, he's tall, he's handsome. And Samuel's thinking, he looks like a king to me. But God says, no. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And Jesse goes through all his sons until he comes to the youngest, David. And God says, he is the man. He will be the next king of Israel. And of course, we know how great a king David was, because the scriptures tell us that David was a man after God's own heart. His heart was in the right place. It didn't matter that he wasn't the strongest or the most handsome. No, it was the heart that mattered. And we need to do the same. When it comes to the things that we do and whether we're doing them for our own praise or for God's praise, it's where our heart is that is where that will come from. And of course, we're weak, aren't we? And we're always hypocrites in our own hearts in some way. We're weak. And every day we fail in this regard. We need a continual transformation of our heart. But we need to look to Jesus and see all that he's done for us in and through his work on the cross. We need to fall on our knees in worship to him. And our hearts should be so affected by what he has done that we can but say, it is all for him. It is all for the glory of God. We need to come in a manner of humility, just as he humiliated himself, going to the cross. And anything else less than giving all glory to him is not appreciating the great good that Jesus has done for us. So let's look back at that first verse that we read, at the very first verse of this passage. It says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. We ask God to continually change our hearts to become more and more like Christ.